WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today are Mike Frammer and Ed Sullivan. And for the next 15 minutes, we will talk about two big games in the world of Notre Dame sports from January 3rd, the Sugar Bowl and the Notre Dame men's basketball game versus Louisville. So some good, some bad. Actually, a little good and a lot bad, but we'll get to that later.
Okay, now that we're done talking about football,
yeah,
let's go right to the basketball.
We'll right on to basketball.
It's a good thing we're a basketball school. If you have any comments or questions, send us an email, domeanddomer@wsbt.com. Okay. The 41-14 debacle at the Sugar Bowl at the hands of LSU raises a lot of questions about the program. Now, you know, I think some of the questions are, is this simply a talent gap question? I mean, we were handled in every phase of the game. Is it a question of talent that recruiting takes care of, or are there other issues that maybe need to be addressed? Any thoughts?
All right. Look, first of all, the only issue is the Notre Dame fan base was way out ahead of where this program was. And we've been saying for a couple of years that we're doing well. We have competent coaching staffs. We're now beating the teams we should beat. And we're stealing a few here and there. But we're not at the upper levels yet. And I think that's what was going on that was revealed. And for all the abuse I took for you for predicting that we were in trouble in this game,
We all knew we were in trouble. The question was,
listen to him.
Yeah, I predicted a win simply because you got at the point of the game, you have to believe, and it's no fun watching the game with, we're going to get killed. So I went on record and said, heck, we're going to win, and that's all that was. But it was obvious. Everybody knew that we did not match up with LSU. It was about the worst bowl matchup that we could have had.
Yeah, it was definitely that, but I think there is a combination of things. One, the talent gap. Two, you're talking about a head coach who's in his second year as a head coach, not just as – I think Charlie's learned a lot.
I think that's right.
I think he's admitting it by saying, look, I'm taking a different approach to this bowl game because what I did last year didn't work. Well, now he's done that twice, so he's saying to himself, all right, that didn't work either.
Well,
so,
Charlie's the guy that's always going to take the blame. And whether or not his approach does or doesn't work is one question. But the other question, and this is personally my opinion, the approach doesn't matter. This is a question of talent. The talent gap between us and the elites is just too great to overcome.
No, you know what? That's too much of a cop-out. That might be true, but the talent gap was huge against USC last year.
Yeah, and
we executed and we competed.
Yeah.
And we did not execute last night. Samardzija dropped passes. Again, Rima dropped passes again. Charlie made some stupid calls, like the fake punt early in the game. We did not execute. We did not play at least as up to our level of talent.
Agreed.
41-14 is not what it should be. I mean, the game should have been closer than that with the talent that we've got. I don't think 41-14 is indicative of the entire talent gap there. However, having said that, there clearly is a talent gap with the upper echelon, the top five teams in the country in Notre Dame. And I think everybody, even the announcers, Jimmy Johnson said it flat out right at the beginning of the game, hey, when you got this much talent, go for the jugular.
Yes, and they did.
Right. LSU, for the last 2 years, has been as talented as anybody in the country. And, you know, do they play too tough a schedule to run the table? Is it, you know, the SEC argument? Or have they underperformed? Because they've lost a couple games the last couple years,
yeah,
but they clearly are as talented as anybody in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, so we lack talent to be at that level, but I think the question here we're getting at is, it could have been a lot better if we execute. So why aren't we executing in the big games?
Again, I think that's one of the things Charlie is going to go back and figure out this year. I mean, there's clearly some blame to lay on him for this, and it might be just inexperience as a head coach.
Clearly,
that's three games this year where they just didn't come to play. And, I mean, Rima McKnight, I don't have a lot of confidence in that kid because he's done it three times, three big games. He has dropped major balls.
Yes.
Now, Samardzija, I don't know. I mean, He missed some plays, but
Lamar doesn't play hard every play. I'm a little tired of his attitude and cockiness and so forth. He's obviously made a lot of great plays and been a great player at Notre Dame. But, you know, that the penalty, ticky-tack call, right. But the unsportsmanlike penalty really put us in a bind. We're at midfield with a couple first downs on our initial drive and now have a chance to play field position and get something going. Okay, now, of course, the penalty puts us back. That leads to the fake punt, which is a ridiculous call on Weiss's part. But that penalty was just inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, and then Duke waves following up right after that. I mean, you know, here we are.
You know what? That was a bad play.
It was a bad play. I thought he was still in the plane.
Yeah, no. Tell you what, he stepped out of bounds by half a foot. Yeah, is all as he was spinning up the sidelines, and then Duke Wade, it was a bad break.
But what if this
was a bad
break?
It was a good call. Point is, bad break, a little unlucky, and Duke Wade just couldn't quite catch himself, but it was the right call. But let's talk about the fake punt for a little bit. I mean, Charlie is who he is, and do we have to take the good with the bad, or should you? I was really, really upset with that call.
I was too. I thought it was a little Mickey Mouse, and Charlie is who he is. We got to take the good with the bad. I'm fine with that. What on a broader issue, when you raised earlier, Mike Brammer, this team was a little looser on the edges this year, all year. It did not have the kind of attitude that last year's team did, where they just, you know, put on a chin strap, stay focused, and we want to accomplish something. This team was a little looser on the edges this year.
Yeah, you wonder about the leadership, you know, that maybe we lost some guys last year who were the heart and soul or chemistry guys on the team that we didn't have this year. We don't know those things, but looking at the performance on the field, it makes you wonder about chemistry and leadership.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. It's any way you look at this, it's tough to take. Now, I do think that, again, with every good game, you know, you mentioned this last week, there's six or seven plays. Well, there was one huge play that didn't work out in our favor. Had that fumble been called a possession and then a turn, I mean, that was a huge play.
Well, let's go back a little bit. We get a turnover on the 20-yard line in the first half and don't convert, don't get any points. And, you know, there's no guarantee if the fumble in the second half is not reversed that we do anything with that because, you know, we did not execute, as we've said a number of times. But I think the play in the game was the ball hitting Samardzija in the head, and he lost it in the light. That's a touchdown.
That was,
and we end up getting nothing on that.
That was a disaster.
That's right. I mean, that's right. Look, you watch the second half. I'm not sure we got a first down. We didn't get a single first down in the second half, okay? So can you really point to one or two plays that would have made things differently? Maybe. The only chance we had to really be in this game and win is if we would have had some of those New England Patriot 11-play drives that got points in the first half, give our defense, keep them off the field, keep it close in the second half, and hope for something good to happen. Well, that went out the window with Samardzija's penalty, Charlie's fake punt, and then not getting points on the fumble. So that by that time, LSU knew what they had to do to crush us. They went for the throat. They threw the ball more than they have all year.
Well,
we have no pass defense.
None,
over.
None. Well, we were still in it at halftime, despite those things you talked about. But, yeah, I tell you, here's why the fake punt bothered me so much. What this team needed to do more than anything else was survive the initial phase of the game, the first 10 minutes of the game, and be in it. And this, you know, a fragile psyche, a fragile defense, you just cannot put your kids in a position where, you know, the worst case scenario happens. And that, you know, that's a turnover. You know, we had to avoid
the turnover,
the big play, and Weiss put them in a position with that fake punt. You know, good call if it works, right?
Yeah,
but you just cannot take that risk.
The announcers alluded to it that, hey, Charlie must have seen something on film. Well, that's all fine and good, but verify that.
Yeah.
Punt it once.
Exactly.
Just to make sure that you're seeing the same damn
thing.
That's right. Because what you're not doing is giving credibility to the other coaching staff.
Who is also watching film.
That's saying, you know what, we got a gap here. Charlie Weiss will take advantage of this.
Exactly.
We can't do this. And what did LSU do? If you saw the replay, they didn't even rush anybody.
Exactly.
They stunted inside.
I tell you, another, I thought, rinky-dink call Weiss had was first play of a possession. We rolled right on that little abbreviated rollout and then tried to throw the screen back the other way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quinn gets sacked for a 10-yard loss. And, sometimes his screens are just a little too complicated, a little too convoluted, take too long to develop, and I don't see that we ever get much out of those screens. But Charlie's a genius, so we'll go with it. But a couple calls really bothered me.
He's not perfect. He doesn't have to be perfect. He had a lot to make up for, and he made some mistakes.
Okay, bottom line is, none of this gets better. We're going to continue to get thumped against the elite teams until we have four classes of top 10 recruits competing every day at practice, putting pressure on each other, and have some depth. And we still only, next year, we're going to have two classes out of four.
Yeah, but I do think what we are going to see next year is we're going to see the beginnings of that starting to form. You're going to see a team next year that will play hard, that will compete. I think we are going to lose the games that we're expected to lose, but it would not surprise me if we're competitive, if they aren't blowouts against the teams that are on the road away, because some of that talent gap is going to slowly diminish.
It's going to take a couple more years.
Yeah, but the question is, what prospect do we have to have a significantly better defense? That's the question.
Probably not next year, but the year after, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Next year's going to be tough.
Next year's going to be tough. 9-3, 8-4 at the best. Where are we going to finish in the polls this year? I think we fall out of the top 20, somewhere around 21, 22 is where we'll finish. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I could see us anywhere from 18 to 24.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere in there, yeah.
All right, on a brighter note, since Notre Dame is now a basketball school, let's talk about the program that has got everybody talking. That's men's basketball, fresh off of a Big East season opening thrashing of Louisville. And, hey, Louisville is not great, but it's Louisville, and they're coached by Rick Pitino, and they got a bunch of athletes.
And it's the Big East opener.
That was a great win, particularly without Kyle McArney, who's suspended. You have Torrey Jackson making his first Big East start. And all he does is turn in a great performance, 14 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds.
Does anybody know if Macklin Arnold was down in New Orleans hanging out with the football team this week?
He was not. He was on the sidelines supporting his team, helping...
throw that conspiracy theory away.
Helping Jackson.
Well, I tell you, this basketball team is fun to watch. They share the ball. They play great defense.
They really share the ball.
And they hustle. They are getting the hustle points
that we haven't gotten in 3 years,
yeah, no
4
doubt.
Years.
A lot of guys doing the dirty work.
You can say what you want about Louisville, but they are a Rick Pitino team, which means that they take pride in defense. And Notre Dame to put up that many points again on another team, and this being the Big East opener against Louisville, I mean, that says a lot right there.
And handle the pressure.
Score, yeah.
Handle the
yeah,
ball
handle
pressure.
The pressure. I mean, that's right. And as I say, Louisville is, when we think of basketball programs, you know, you name, like, you know, the top 10 elite basketball programs, they're on that list. Notre Dame is not. And we took it to them in all phases. I love, as you say, the hustle, the defense, the block shots. We were blocking shots and then getting the ball after the block shot.
Again, Russell Carter doing everything you need him to do, playing defense, scoring, being athletic. A lot of putbacks for dunks, things of that nature. But how about, again, a guy like Rob Kurz, who didn't have a big night scoring, but has a lot of rebounds and block shots and assists from a big guy.
Yep.
Hillsland off the bench again, giving energy, handling the ball. This is a really tough team to defend.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at this, obviously we're all looking at, all right, how many wins do we need to get into the tournament? I actually had this game down as one of those if games. You know, we may or may not beat Louisville. It wouldn't kill us, but it would have been great. But this clearly is a huge step in the right direction as far as solidifying that bid.
Oh, no question. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Needed to get off to a good start in the Big East. Okay, Irish have Georgetown coming up over the weekend. We'll be back next week to talk about that game and preview upcoming Big East matchups as things really start to heat up for the men's basketball team. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, along with Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. Send us an email with any comments or questions, domeanddomer@wsbt.com. Until next time, remember, I'm Dome, he's Domer, and he's Domer?